Awesome. Well, hey, Carter is a small group leader here. Actually, Carter leads alongside me. Yep. He's awesome. But hey, any chance we have to get small group leaders up here, we try to get them up here and communicate. Because we're like, hey, just because you're on staff doesn't mean you're a pastor. Like, we believe your small group leaders are all have the opportunity to pastor you guys. And just because, you know, we get paid on staff or on wake staff doesn't mean we're the only ones who can communicate. So we wanted to have Carter up here to share from what he's learning in this psalm that he's going to teach us. And so I'm going to pray for him real quick, and then I'm going to give it to him. Lord, thanks for what you teach us in your word. Thanks for the psalms and how we can learn how to be real, and that pursuing you doesn't mean that we have it all together. But you've called us to be real, to be intentional, and to pursue you with a full devotion. So I pray we'd learn through Carter, and the words that he speak and the meditations of his heart will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wake, how are we doing? We doing good? Yeah? If you were to ask me how I'm doing, I would say I'm doing very well. Would you like to know why? Because all my life, I've been like you, right? In the crowd, looking up at the stage, thinking, man, what would it be like to have one of those cool facepiece microphones that make me look like Justin Bieber? And you think, do I feel like Justin Bieber? Do I look like Justin Bieber?
No.
Do I feel like Justin Bieber? You don't know. You don't experience this. This is a dream coming true for me. So I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. So guys, like Austin said, my name is Carter Smith, and I'm a leader for some rising eighth graders in Richardson. Where are my boys at? Where my boys at? If you guys didn't hear, I actually am a leader for, there's some guys over here. They're over there. But I'm also a firefighter and a paramedic in Dallas. And so if you see a fire engine or an ambulance driving by, you just wave. All right? It might be me. But this summer we've gone through a series called Summer in the Psalms, right? Where every week we take a psalm, read through it together, and then talk about what it means. And so this week we're going to talk about Psalm 27, written by a guy named David, and there's three main points. Those points are fear is distracting, God is greater than fear, and then fear is an opportunity. Okay? So I know Austin just prayed, but I'm going to go ahead and pray too. All right? So bow your heads with me. God, would you be present in this place? Would you move through my words? Allow your truth to flow. Pray that we'd have open ears to hear what you have to say to us. We love you, God. You are greater than we think you are. You are stronger than our fear. Help us to take from what David has written and apply it to our lives today. So in your name we pray. Amen. So whenever I read the Bible, I like to have a game plan, right? If you're on any sort of sports team, you don't show up to the game and then say, okay, let's figure out our plan, because that's stupid, right? You want to have a plan before you get to it. So if you don't have a method for how you read your Bible, I want you to see this. This is called the Big Three. This is what I use. So when you read your passage, you want to answer these questions. What does this say about humanity, us? What does it say about God? And then what does it say for me right now? So if you don't have a method, take a picture of this, write this down, because this is what I used when I read through Psalm 27. So now I'm going to read it. And as I'm reading, I want you to think of those three questions, okay? Here we go. Psalm 27, starting in verse 1, goes like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, for forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, or for false witnesses have risen up against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All right, so could you guys answer those questions? No? Good thing I'm talking, right? Because I'm going to help answer those questions. So as you guys can see, as David is writing this, there's symbolism, there's emotion, right? He is pretty much confessing to God, God, I do have fear. There's something that's hard going on right now, but help me to trust you, right? Is there anything that you're fearful of? When I think of fears, what do you think of? Yell it out. Snakes? Anybody? Snakes? Heights? Clowns? The dark? Needles? No? How about this? Does anybody in this room have scolionophobia? Yeah? A deathly fear of going to school? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. What about anybody have globophobia? A fear of balloons? Or what about this one? Arachibutyrophobia. A fear of peanut butter sticking to the top of your mouth. Anybody? I hope not, because that would be terrible. But bring it back. So I say all these things because there's some wild fears out there, fears that you would never think of. But then there's fears that are true and that are deep. What about, has anybody ever been fearful of being embarrassed? I know I have. What about being rejected by somebody you love or care about? Yeah? What about your future? Fear of your future or unknown. Or what about even fear of failure, right? So that brings me to my first point, is that fear is distracting. When we read the Bible, it talks a lot about fear, okay? But there's two main types. There's a good fear and there's a bad fear. There's a fear that leads to worship of God, and there's a fear that leads to worry. Okay, so let's talk about the first one, fear of God, the good fear. Has anybody ever heard the term fear of God and thought, that doesn't make a lot of sense? Like, how can I fear somebody who I'm also supposed to love? Well, a simple definition is fear of God is a deep respect for his glory and his power. Fear of God is a deep respect for his glory and his power. And we see this in 1 Samuel 12:24, which says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. So it's telling us to fear God, only God, and serve him faithfully with all our heart. So God wants all of our emotion, all of our devotion, all of our worship. And then it also says, for consider what great things he has done for you. Remember back to what God has done, and that grows our relationship with him, because we can fear him better when we know him better. Does that make sense? When we read the Bible and learn more about him, we are able to fear him better because our relationship with him grows. Okay, so that's the good fear. That's the fear of God. And then there's the bad fear, the worry fear. That's fear of pretty much everything else. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So in this one, it's saying God doesn't want us to fear. God wants us to have confidence in him, right? It's not a coincidence that in the Bible there's over 300 different verses on fear. And what does that say about us? What does that say about humanity? It says we're scared, right? It says we're forgetful. We often forget of who God says he is. So what does God do? He reminds us. In his love, he reminds us continually, because what does fear do to us? It distracts us from truth. And I've got a story about how fear distracted me. You want to hear it? So when I was in seventh grade, I was involved in this program called Destination Imagination. Who's heard of it? Not a lot of people? Yeah? It's like a creativity, critical thinking deal where you're given a prompt with your team and you have to solve the prompt and you get scored on it after. So it's a lot of creative thinking, a lot of trying to find loopholes and stuff like that. So I was really into it. We, at this point, we had won regionals, okay? Big shot right here. We had won regionals in DI, and then now we're moving on to state. So we're at the state award ceremony in this huge auditorium, thousands of people, and they start listing off categories and listing off who won, third place, second place, first place. So then it gets to our category, and my team and I were, you know, we're antsy, we're excited, we're about to hear if we won state or not. Third place, they say the name, not us. Second place, they say the name, not us. And we think, okay, we either really crushed it or we absolutely bombed it. First place, they say our name, we lose it. We're so excited. We rush the stage. Everybody's chanting, Carter, Carter. Not actually, I wish. But that's what it felt like in the moment. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're just like on top of the world, mountaintop experience, right? And so I'm standing there, and my buddy grabs the trophy. He lifts it up. And I'm thinking back, okay, I've watched the Olympics. I've watched award ceremonies. There's this cool thing you do called the team lift, where one guy lifts it, and the other person lifts it, and it's a picture-perfect moment. It's awesome. And so my buddy's holding the trophy, and I'm thinking, okay, here's the team lift. Let's do it. As I'm reaching up, he doesn't realize it, and he turns to the side like this and starts walking. And so I'm standing on stage, remind you, thousands of people, and I'm going like this, and he moves, and I just go like that. And I look at the crowd, and I was at the high of my highs right then, and then I just go to low of my lows because I feel like the biggest dorkus in the world. I feel like everybody in the crowd thinks, wow, that guy is an idiot. And so what happened was a fear of what other people thought of me, right? I thought everybody thought I was a dork. And that fear of what other people thought of me distracted me from a present victory. We had just won state. Why am I not excited? I wasn't able to celebrate the rest of that day with my team because I was so caught up in my head about what other people thought. Have you ever had that happen before? Been so caught up in what other people think that you lose sight of what's going on right now, the good things right now. So fear is distracting. That's my first point. Second point, God is greater than fear. Let's go back to the first verse in Psalm 27. And the first part of it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Okay, what does that mean? Light and my salvation. Does that make a lot of sense? When I think of light, I think of any sort of adventure, action, treasure hunt movie where they're going through caves, right? They're trying to find the treasure. And what are they holding? A torch, a lantern, something, flashlight. Why? Yeah, otherwise they couldn't see, right? And they'd be scared, exactly. So what does this mean about God? God helps give us perspective in a time where we otherwise couldn't see. Does that make sense? So when David is writing this and said, God, you are my light, he's essentially saying, God, you are my guidance. God, you are my guidance. And then it says, the Lord is my salvation. So what does that mean? Well, the fact that God is our salvation implies that we are in need of saving. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So what do we deserve for our sin? Death. But the second part of that verse, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So because we're in need of salvation, God in his love rescued us. So in saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation, David is in fact saying, God, you are my guide and you are my rescue. And the second part of that verse, the Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Stronghold. Has anybody heard that word before? Stronghold? What does that mean? You can look at the screen and tell. It means fortress. So what David is saying is, God, you are my safe place. You are my refuge. Does anybody know what a fortress looks like? This is what a fortress looks like. Boom. So what David is saying is, God, you're like this to me. When I'm scared and I'm fearful, I can run into you, into your presence, and have safety. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So is it wise for us to run to a fortress like that for protection? Yes, there's a moat around it. Of course it's wise to run there. It's a great place to go. But what does it look like when we on our own are faced with fear and we just keep it to ourselves? We'll try to push it to the side. And we try to hide under what we can provide on our own. This is what it looks like. That's what it looks like. When we try to deal with fear on our own, it's like trying to hide with your face in a basketball net. Do you think that kid's going to be found?
No.
Absolutely. That's a terrible hiding spot. I don't know what you guys are thinking of or if you're any good at hide and seek, but that is a terrible hiding spot. And I know, hold on, bring it in. I know it's funny to show that, but my question to you is, where do you go when you fear? Where's your source of security or comfort? Do you hide?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you put your face in a basketball net?
Yes.
Or do you go to God? Or do you go to God as your stronghold, as your fortress? Why? I encourage you to go to God with your fears and be honest with him and ask him to help you because he is trustworthy and God is always greater than our fears. And then my third point is that fear is an opportunity. Last week we talked about Psalm 23, right? And then part of that psalm says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Valley of the shadow of death. Has anybody ever been to a valley of shadow of death? Not literally, I haven't. But what David's trying to say is, have you ever been in a time in your life where you do not have any hope? Have you ever been in a time in your life where you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel and you're scared and you feel alone? The second part of that verse is, the Lord is my, the second part is that he is my comfort, right? And so I know that fear is real. I know those feelings of anxiety or loneliness or isolation are real. Okay, I've experienced them myself. And you can talk to your leaders. I'm sure they've experienced them in some form or fashion. So you're not alone in that. But fear is real, but it's not stronger than the truth of the gospel. Not stronger than the truth that we were dead in our sins, but Jesus died to save us. So we are no longer slaves to fear. We just sang a whole song about the fact that we're no longer slaves to fear. So 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. So why is fear an opportunity? It's an opportunity to trust God. Every time we face something that produces fear in us, we can choose the bad fear, worry, or we can choose the good fear, worship, and hand it over to God, knowing that he is a fortress for us. So like I said a second ago, right? My job, I'm a fireman, yeah? So whenever I get a call to go to a house fire, right? I show up, and I go out there, and I'm looking at the house, and there's flames, and I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I chose the wrong job. Or do I think, man, okay, I'm equipped. I've been given gear. I've got a helmet. Not only this, I've got a coat, pants, boots, breathing face piece, all that I need to step confidently into that, knowing that I'm equipped, right? Right? And I also have my crew, and I know they have my back. So knowing that I'm equipped gives me confidence to face the challenges in front of me. Am I still nervous? Absolutely. Right? Of course I'm nervous, but I can choose to have faith over fear knowing that I'm equipped. In the same way, guys, God has equipped us to face our fears. When we experience fear, it can feel like, oh, it just came upon me and I can't do anything about it. But the truth is God has equipped us to face those fears. Fear wants to take us out and make us forget what is true. But we can have confidence in situations of any kind, knowing that God has fully equipped us to choose faith over fear. So here's three things that God has equipped us with that we always have. One, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You are never alone in whatever you may be facing. Second, we've got the Bible. Like, we can read of David's experience and know that we're not alone and be reminded of truth. And in the same way, we have community. They point us in the right direction. They point us of what is true. Hey, man, you're in fear right now. Let's pray about it. Let's give this over to God. The fortress, not the basketball net. And I, in myself, just because I'm a fireman doesn't mean I have no fear, right? In the morning when I show up to the station, I have to pray, God, will you help me have courage? Will you help me have fear? Or help me have faith. Help me have faith over fear, right? Because I'm forgetful. And I need to be reminded of these three things we've talked about. One, fear is distracting. If I'm not on guard, I can just be distracted and wiped. Second is that God is greater than fear. God is that fortress we can always run to for safety and for refuge. And third, fear is an opportunity to trust God, knowing that we have been fully equipped right now to face fear with faith. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We're so thankful for you, the fact that we have confidence to face our fears, knowing that you've given us exactly what we need. That you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us a Bible. You've given us community. And with those things, God, we don't have to feel alone. We don't have to feel isolated, but help us to run to you in times of fear, because you are a refuge and a present help in times of need. We give this day to you, God, knowing that you are good, and saying once again that, God, we trust you. Help us to trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.